Today is May 25th, 1978. Frances Hands Murray and her mother, Fanny Burfoin Hands, and an architect out of Austin, Texas, will be evaluating the early use of the homestead of Henry Burfoin, 1914 to 1935. The homestead is located on the corner of Houston and Lorenzo Street in Castroville, Texas.
Do you mind if I ask you when you were born? Does that bother you?
No.
Okay. I didn't tell you what.
1928.
Oh,
wait
a minute.
I'm
going
to
be married.
You were married.
I was married in 28.
You were born in 1910.
Three.
1930. I was born
in
1931.
I did
something a little.
You're like our son, Marie. Harold was born in 31, Maurice in 33.
More likely you'd have born around 36. Were you born in 26?
Yeah. 1903, because Daddy always said he was born in 1902 and she could be wrong with you. I keep mixing my wedding dates with the other dates. That's right.
Dates are hard.
Well, you really got something, Mike. But what I think you need to do is sort of get my initial response to everything, and then you keep in mind what Fred Williams says. Fred Williams?
Yeah.
Keep in mind what he told you, and then we'll see where we can play, okay?
Well, wait a minute. Let me put this on.
Yeah. This is the historic homestead, and the fancy people in Austin, the historical commission, they've got pictures. They have photographs of this homestead.
We were here when they did.
Oh, I see.
So we should
start. But anyway, everybody's just so nervous about the bomb.
Oh, really?
It was kind of funny to walk into somebody in Austin who was really anxious and all upset about the bomb.
Wow.
You're all born. And they just really worried about it. And at first, when they found out that I was maybe doing some work here, they said, "Now, please go do something about that bomb. It would be a good idea to go right directly to the bomb. It helped save the bomb." Oh, God, they worried about the bomb. Excuse me. I've been looking around a little bit. You see, this is not your ordinary barn. It's a very unique structure because of the low headroom down low.
The cattle would eat out of them troughs, and people would feed them from the top. Yeah.
And it's the scale of it, you think, is this. But Francis, to do this right, you have no idea of the measuring and the labeling and the detective work.
I'm a free agent this summer. I mean, I can mess around. I tore down a house in Austin. I know how.
There were some people that wanted to get the lumber.
Don't let them
pay. And they wanted to take it down piece by piece and take it back to your family, I think is the place. Well, I have reluctant and it didn't hand out. So,
well, you did the right thing. I mean, this wasn't terrible,
but
it
should be careful because of the fact that people might get hurt. We've got a damaged suit never
ended. Yeah. You see, there's those things like these brackets on here holding up that little roof extension. The way the boards go by looks kind of like a wagon side roof. And the way the barn boards are put on, even. And the bird stops, we call them up there at the top.
Well, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
We knew it was there. Kids saw.
That's adorable. I mean, if you use an emotional term, you can keep I don't think you should worry about it falling down much more.
Well, we worry when we want other people to work on.
Within the last 4 months, that board gave. This board crashed. This.
Your mother lived here in 14. Did they bought the place from someone else?
Yeah.
Bought it. Moved in.
All right.
Before the First World War.
1914.
You were how old? 12?
I was not 1914. Well, anyway.
You'll remember it very well then.
Oh, well, I remember that. Lately. missing some of the dates. That's where I...
Who all moved here? You, Grandpa, Grandma, and Uncle Hugo.
Yeah.
So there are four of them living here.
Yeah. But then the Mrs. The mother, the one that owned the place,
who was
at
that?
A time. Miss Witzbach's aunt, Teresa. Not Teresa. Now I got it mixed up.
Look at all this is easily figured out. Okay?
After you sit down and really write it down, but we never wrote anything down. That was the silly thing.
Well, nobody has really thought about this kind of thing really until the last 20 years.
Right. Now we played up there and we put the rope from there to there and we climb over from that roof to the door. That was my day of kids. And we had a
That doesn't happen much anymore.
No.
You're trying to throw old folks away now.
Oh, no.
So it's glad to hear that you had that kind of harmony. That's very interesting.
Get that daddy and that mother. And when daddy died, she decided she'd just leave him.
Yeah.
And we were really satisfied. Because we didn't have no babysitters every week.
It was a real family
unit. She helped. And I'm mixing this family with this family. That's where I'm mixing it up. See, they're young. They moved to Gadsdenville, mother's dad, one time because they were too far away from school and they wanted to go to school. Grandma wanted mother and my uncle to go to school. And so they moved.
Wait, were you live in the country? In the farm? All your people farmer? Farmer, natural
fact. But mother educated us.
I came from farmers, and I'm proud of being one.
Yeah, mother educated us. My brother and I, we were well-read.
We could read, write, old languages. We were just getting into school. It was just something new in our lives.
Then
you'd already, your mother had taught you at home.
Yes, we were in school.
How far away from Castleville,
Hanley? 5 miles. Got four log cabins and a house.
Is it occupied?
No.
Sitting there?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Well, let's go in 5 minutes.
Okay. Look around some more.
See, the main thing is Francis and I had to work out a deal about what we're going to do next. It's just not the same thing. I have to get a step runner. I have to call all over for a captain. I have to do things like measure the exact length here to where. In other words, I almost have to measure board to board to do it right. And then when you get all those measurements, you make a model and you put the damn thing back together just like.
This is what we put on the rope and slid.
The very same one, I bet.
I'm sure it is. And slid. Moving here. And she married a fellow by the name of Bifford. First she was married to Zala. Then she married Bifford. And she's a niece or an aunt to Mrs. Mangle.
Cornelia Mangle.
I'll try to get that. And then this little addition was put on here by Tommy Hope. And
you mean the
house here over was the part of the original house.
Yeah. And these are just added on after.
The porch is first,
yeah. And the one time I was sitting in the house. Well, this makeshift was all of a sudden correct. But the kids had been playing out here a week before, and that thing fell down. That's when they started putting these posts in.
Mm-hmm.
These posts came from Honda. We bought a piece of top of this room. Door before. See, these doors were not original.
Mm-hmm.
And they were double doors that met.
Mm-hmm.
You know, met in open lot.
You think the original ones?
No, we got a picture, yeah. They are. They were.
Now that figures. And of course, restored, if you think in a restored state, what you'll have is a very good looking structure.
It's not going to look
there's more trouble than anything you've ever tackled in your whole born days. Because you'll be criticized to death unless you do it absolutely accurately and right. And that requires a lot of your time, a lot of my time, somebody else's time to really get into it. The integrity of the house, the main house, the original house is right there. And then those composition shingles have saved the whole thing from any severe damage. So it is what it is. A 19th century severed residence right here in Castro, Texas.
No.
Obi.
Because we went down and signed the papers.
How much did you pay for?
Four.
How much was it? $2,000?
Not quite.
No, less than $10,000. 1914. Well, you got your money.
Didn't we know?
Imagine buying something this big to pay for $2,000.
They sold it shortly after they had bought it. And they bought it from Bibbert. And Bibbert was the first owner. And Annie Bibbert, when this Bibbert died, she sold it to Obie's. And when we learned to know that we were going to live in Castro, well, we went down to Moore, where he lived, and we signed the papers down there.
Moore, Castro?
Yeah. Lo Divine.
Which Bibbert?
No, I don't know. It's given.
There was a Kemp. Wasn't there a Kemp part?
Well, the Kemps lived here too, but I don't know how much part they owned. See, the county seat was here, Castro, and at that time, Kemp owned part of this. Oh, it's a hash, I tell you.
Oh, it's an abstract out there.
Yeah.
But it goes up and how much they paid for it at different levels of who owned it and how much they paid for it and whatnot. And one level jumps. So we think the house was built in that period.
Yeah.
So that's one way of tracing it.
Yeah.
But then there's a woman named Cornelia
Mangle
who lives up in Medina, Riverdale?
No, she lives right here in town.
So I
want
to go talk with
time.
Her and do the same.
And we didn't sell it because we wanted to keep the place intact. Daddy said, oh, I can't sell it if I sell a corner. So he didn't sell it. She felt bad about it, but she could understand that Daddy didn't want to sell. On one piece, he wanted to sell the whole thing when he got ready to sell. So he never sold.
We debated for years.
Procrastinating.
Doing this, doing that. Nah, we don't want to do this and that. And they only got air conditioning after I moved out.
Looking like this, it's just incredible. From my point of view, somebody that's always loved buildings and they set their own buildings right now. You don't anymore see anything like this. And nowhere in the world is this for the Lord. Hardly any. Here's
That's all screwed. That's not just nailed on there.
Yeah, it's wonderful ribbon worked into the door jam. There's every reason to believe that these wood floors are original.
Oh, yes. There's no
reason because they automatically assume that they're not. In other words, apparently they were.
What do you call these things? Support. But he said that was one of the details that we were really interested in. And the canvas and the paint. So that sepal paint was done by my grandmother.
Curious, it's fascinating.
See, they put a coat of shellac, a coat of something, the new paints that are used, and then they stick them in with a sponge.
Oh, with a sponge. sponge.
Mm-hmm. You can see the design. Mm-hmm. And that holds the whole ceiling up.
It sure does. And now there's something else there. There, look at this. The way it chamfered on the security here. We just don't do things like that, of course. This is a very interesting detail.
And that was just laid up there because it was falling down.
What?
That door, that canvas.
But
this canvas was put in when we start. Paul Flathouse and Poos put it in. But the rain has ruined the canvas more than the actual use of the building otherwise.
Uh-huh. And now the canvas treatment takes place in your lifetime?
Doorknobs that are that old? I said, yes, we do. And they were originally here, and there they are. All the doorknobs are in place except one or two that were broken out by the, well, by hyenas.
Whatever happened.
Yeah. Yeah. We hate to say.
But that was happening.
Yeah, they said those doorknobs were priceless. We didn't even pay any attention to them. To us, they just seemed like part of the fixture. So,
we have an abstract that's fairly detailed with names
of all the people
where it's owned.
It's in that file.
This used to be a room that someone, a family lived in this half, and a family lived in that half.
Mm-hmm.
And the hall was sort of their, this was their front door, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now that I heard some you say one time. So, and then when Grandma and Grandpa and the two children lived here, as they grew up, for a while, six people lived here.
Mm-hmm.
So they put, I wonder where everyone was. Now we have a Christmas picture that shows that that was kind of the sitting room. And Grandma and Grandpa lived, I'm talking Grandpa, Mary Berkman and Henry Berkman lived in this room. And I guess the dining room was the kitchen.
Yeah. There was no special dining room.
Then what did you use this room for when Grandma and Grandpa lived with you? Or,
well, just sitting around. That's about all. It never was really used.
Except it was a sitting room.
Yeah.
This was always a sitting room.
Mm-hmm. As far as I know. Way back.
And that seems to be part of the reason for
us.
Oh, it is. What is it?
That's not marble. That fooled your eyes, but it's
some itinerant painter came through and painted it to look like marble.
Good fine job.
And they cannot find anyone that'll do it.
It's just the cabinet, the chimney's over there. No.
Yeah, there's a chimney.
There's a chimney above it. I don't remember on the outside of the house.
It's
told you I was a slow learner.
It's at the peak.
Okay, it's hidden back in the wall.
Right. Okay.
And that's an old flu outlet there, of course. It's in chimney space.
It was loaded with beans once
upon
a time, but they got out.
Yeah. What's behind there? Chimney open? Right, they don't need? Did you just close it off?
Yeah, well, they closed it off and run the heater out here. And apparently, during the sometime, they had a wood burning stove that connected instead of having the fireplace.
Wood burning stove. Here.
And you want another one in there?
Fireplace.
But no stove.
No stove.
No. That was a
fire. And there was a wood burning stove in the kitchen.
Yeah.
There's a, what do you call it, chimney, but there's no fireplace. So that might have been, how did you, when that, was the wood burning stove what you had when you moved here?
When you cooked, yeah.
So there wasn't ever a fireplace in the kitchen.
Well, in the kitchen we didn't have a fireplace.
Just like chimney. So apparently they had wood burning stoves when they had a chimney, when mm-hmm. they built that.
Mm-hmm. Well, with a variety of people, a lot of things come up. Everybody has a different idea.
Today is July the 9th, 1978, and Francis Hans Maury is at the home of Mr. Joe Gent, who she is interviewing for the Castroville Public Library's Oral History Collection.
Now, we trace back through them. Henry Borkman, Charles Obie, Annie Zoller, Dippers.
Well, that was all in one place at one time. And the Boatman and the Zollerby at the same building.
Yeah, well, this is the same building. This is all the people mm-hmm. who owned it. And it goes, Henry Borkman was the 10th, Charles Obie the 9th, and this is the deed record.
Was Obie the blacksmith?
I don't know.
They used to be. Oh, no, just go on down the line. I'll tell you.
And tell me where you start knowing people. Annie Bibbert. Maria Turpey, August Kemp, and Clotilda.
I can remember them talking about it.
And then the Keeks, Henry and Giesich Keeks, John Henry Keeks, in 1868. So that's pretty far back.
But which one had the blacksmith They just called it that house at Copper Ten, that blacksmith shop. Used to be that.
Blacksmith shop?
Sure, it was a blacksmith shop, and that all that barn was horses.
Yeah. Cal?
Yeah.
Well, in the thing here, he wrote, Henry Keith said he was a carpenter and a dealer in lumber on the census.
Who? That's it, sir.
Henry Keith. But see, that's back, now that goes back to 1856. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out where, if you know any of these people. And then the Biffords, Jacob Biffords, now that's 1853. Joseph Kenner.
I was just born in 1901.
1901? Well, see, then you come up here right where the Biffords were. But well, Henry Castro owned it in 1850.
He owned all that property. He gave it away.
Right.
He made a settlement. Mm-hmm. He didn't live in the certain house. You know, there wasn't no lumber that time to build the house.
Right. They had pickets and grass.
All rock and pickets, what they called. Yeah. And that half of that lumber.
Yeah.
I said, now that the Castro come here and left, he didn't have no lumber.
No.
But they want big money for it.
Oh, yeah.
Go off with it.
Well, anyway.
I'd like to find out. I believe it was better to have the blacksmith shop. I didn't do it, too.
Here's a guy named Jacob Tippert that was a laborer. This is in 1850. See, we're reading from old censuses, you know, things that were found in Austin. Mm-hmm. But, the abstract, we have this abstract, and this is sort of a summation of the abstract. And then a guy named Russell Howley was probably a lawyer.
But when was that?
Oh, this goes back to before your time. I was just wondering if you remember any old gossip from, you know, but you think a blacksmith?
But that was a fantasy.
Well, she doesn't really know. She can't know what happened in the house before she moved in, you know.
He wasn't too far behind. Man, I can't remember. Because that was closed up when Bevan had. Well, I don't know whether he was the blacksmith.
When did y'all move here?
1940. 1940. Yeah. I was left here 2 years and I asked his daddy one day. I've been living here too long. I don't know why there's not. He said, go right over from your house to mine, straight as rock. Yeah.
Do you remember ever hearing about a house that was on this last lot over here? Mom thinks there was a house there once, before that humble thing was put up.
Mm-hmm.
No?
No, I don't think so. That was an old house over here on Putnam Street that was still ruthless there. Just a little old. Sunday come to meeting place.
Oh, yeah. Over here on the corner?
Oh, right close, that big mosquito on the corner. But it was all ruthless land at one time. See, my piece was a ruthless land. I bought it from Eden Haven. But.
So this house was built in 1940?
Yes, I moved there. You didn't build
it, though.
Still brand new. It's $170.
My God.
I paid $35 for the whole lot.
That's great.
And it looks like I haven't got a thing.
Well, they put down here how much they went for all the time. Lot one for consideration of $150. Well, you can sort of tell where the price went up. We think that's when the house was built.
I could have bought these lots $50.
Yeah.
You're kidding. That's where you're dating.
Yeah.
Pull off that from here to black to see daddy bought. He had his horses in there. He always loved horses. He had good Uncle Henry.
Henry.
Yeah, your grandpa.
Oh, Henry Borkley.
Yeah.
Oh, he had horses.
Oh, always had some of the best.
Do you have a raven?
Oh, he had one of old hold of, and they finally got a hold of, and it's pretty good right now. Short
distance. Yeah. Well, I never knew that.
We always had a contest.
Also, we found an old bar record from Henry Borkman, and it's got the tabs in there for Charles D. Montel and all these people that used to drink. And evidently, he was a barkeeper for a while.
Well, that one comes to me.
But Mother couldn't figure out whether it was the Warnett Saloon or the old Sandbox.
We had the first saloon, real saloon, was the bank.
Oh, yeah.
And then Frank Mooney, at once, were with the Reemagic Camp. This side of the old Sandbox. Reem, he built that one.
Yeah. Reem, Vampire.
Yeah. He built that. That was Willie Reem, Bob Reem, Caddy, and well, and the whole bunch. I don't think there's any of them alive.
Yeah.
He moved to Castle.
I just saw a picture of him, Frank Munier.
That little bit.
Yeah. Mother said, that's Frank Munier, and we turned it over, and that's what it said on the back, Frank
Munier. Yeah.
So he was a saloon chief. I'm trying to track down all these saloons, too. Seems like everything in Castleville was a saloon at one time.
No, we had three, four of them. We had three, four of them, but they were real saloons. You know. But Frank Munier had a play, opened a dessert joint, but you know what the theater is? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys remember the house.
No.
Sold that house to Eaton, Reen bought it from Mooney. And Mooney met up with a Mexican woman, and he married, and he went to Natalie. Mm-hmm. That's the last I've seen of old time. Bill Green sold that saloon to old Sam Hayes for a barn, and that's older than and moved it away, and then got the theater started. Like them John started that theater and not Willie.
Yeah.
Them three started theater. But at one time, they had old Bill Green had a saloon then, and that place at the standby where the doctor was.
Mm-hmm. And it's back saloon again.
The 12th of March, that'll be 68, huh? Next week. Not to be 76. I mean, 77, huh? Yeah. 78.
Well, that was Daddy. The year was 1902.
He was born in 1902. Oh, Daddy. Your daddy, yeah. I went to school here when I went to
school. Where was the school when y'all went?
Well, I tell you, we didn't have to new here. We went there.
Upstairs.
We had an upstairs town back across the mountain.
Oh, yeah. That was the school.
We had another one little old school, the first church we ever had. We went there. I went there back. The first church in Texas.
Yeah, it's still standing. I went there last week, I think it was. On Moya property, on Moya Ground.
Yes, it's called Moya. No, that's how you cut short. Find out who built it. All these old people come from over there with rock mess. Most of them. They all built their own house. Who built that one up there was Grandpa Federley. Who built that one was Dodgley. They had some old rock masons and they took them along.
Well, now Henry Borkman built one out of, it's sort of like frame. It's not rock, it's got a lot of lumber. That one at the ranch, Mother's, where she was born?
Yeah, it's got part rock, though. Yeah. It's got part of it is rock. But if he finished it off on a, on which one,
hello, are you fine?
second time. Somebody might hit him.
Oh, and then there's it goes on. It says with the improvements thereon. So evidently this was probably built in this period here, which is right before 1869. But it might be older than that. We don't know.
It was here in 19. And well, I guess it was here in 1906.
Yeah.
This Sorosky, well, I found him
before. So, this guy from the Texas Institute of Cultures came by, a sword, and this guy was asking me about whether or not any of my ancestors were fighting in the Civil War, because there were some papers there where they said they wanted citizenship, and then they said they didn't want citizenship, and it was right during that period when they were. So anyway, I got out the sword. I said, well, somebody must have been. Here's a sword from the Civil War. He said, that's not the Civil War. That's the Napoleonic War.
Oh, my goodness. It really went back.
So it went back to France, yes. And was brought over here, and it's in the closet. So I don't know how long it's been in the closet, and Grandma and Mother didn't. Well, Grandma thought it belonged to Ed Borton, who's the brother of Franz Borton, who's my great-grandfather. Something like that. And it probably just came to that house in 1912, but we don't really know. But he said it's not Civil War, it's Napoleonic War. And he said they must have served in the war before they came, you know.
Yeah.
So, and they're tracing something about Ed Borton, that they've been doing his history. So he was there looking, and I think, well, Mother said, I think we have a picture of him. He went, what?
Ed Yardler. He looked up on me.
Hi and Ed. No, it wouldn't have been Henry Borkman, it would have been Frank Borkman and Ed.
Yeah.
Those were brothers.
Henry Borkman was the only one brother he had, was Olaf. Oh, he got my... Henry Bolger was the only one brother he had, was Olaf. Oh, he got my husband, Paul. What was her name?
Henry?
Huh?
Was it
Mary's husband? No, he lived up here. He was
talking about the brother of Henry.
Oh.
No, Henry had a brother or a bunch of sisters?
He had a brother. Left up a cliff above Frank Woods, perhaps, I don't know. Well, and then he had a sister too.
You know, August Sandblazer.
I know some of them old ones. I don't know which was August and which was the other one. One of them lived on this side of the house, and one of them was up in a lower somewhere.
That could have been
old.
Yeah, that guy was, August Sandblazer was born in 1845 in Europe. And then he came here and started up the post office. And there's a book at the library that was, he wrote it in 1912. So you ought to maybe remember him. But anyway, he drove a stage from here to Dehennis, and on to Spriquihi, and then on to El Paso, back and forth. And the Indians were raiding all the time. So he was talking about the Indian raids, and this whole book, it's really interesting. A lot of people have been reading it. Moggy was checking it out.
He wrote it himself.
Uh-huh. And that's one of the few records of anything that went on around here. You know, the commerce, and he hauled lumber back and forth, and you know, after trucks, not trucks, but stages, and what do they call them? Flatbeds.
Does your mother think she thinks that when you all moved, when they moved to Castlewood?
Oh, yeah. From 1912 on, we know. We know what happened.
He had bought the owned in 13.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's when they moved down here, from the ranch.
I know, when we were there.
Far. Tab that Henry Borkman kept.
Really?
With all the names and how much they drank. 10 cents a drink. Two drinks, 25 cents. four drinks, 40 cents. It goes on and on. And then all the names of the people who were there. Mother doesn't know which bar he ran. She said, he never ran a bar. I said, how do you know what he did before you were born? You know?
Yeah.
So that was in 1878 to 1912. There's dates in there. And then he hired somebody. Jesus Morales agrees to work for 1 year.
They even had, they signed, what did you call it, Time?
Yeah, to keep the time record. Half day, whole day. And then he goes on the date, July 12th, half day. And then he paid him.
At the end of the year or when?
Oh, he paid him in supplies and he paid him in
that way.
Just whenever he wanted it, he came and asked, and they would settle up, and he'd write on there, paid for such days and whatnot. I guess I don't know exactly how, but it's interesting to go through it, all the different names of the people. Oh, I know about asking one of them. You know, a Gabe Hans who lived in Natalia.
Gabe Hans moved to you to
Pearsall. did you know him?
No, but I heard a lot about him.
Yes, now it's true.
Let me see if I can find it. I'm clipping of it. Here it is. On the trail of Gabe Hans. This thing. He was a Westerner, a sheriff.
Yeah, at one time he was.
His wife was Teresa Haley of Cadbury.
Yeah.
What's the Haley right? She belonged to? That's Rudolph
Haley
then?
Dorothy.
And he had several sons and a daughter named Genevieve. And
well, that could have happened after he was gone.
He had served in the Texas Rangers. And
I heard about that too, but I don't know.
Fought Indians. Anyway, this kid, somebody just brought it to the house, and Mother thinks it was a great uncle to Daddy.
Hasn't been so. Dave Hearn, the one of Pearsall, was a brother to you, Daddy.
Gabe Hans
would
make it great uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was a brother to Ed Hans. I knew Ed Hans well. Hell, I knew him just as well as I knew Gabe.
Well, he had a saloon in Frio Town. I don't know where that was.
See, we didn't get to go nowhere, not even that to real. My young day.
Where were you when you were a kid?
At Remedina. But I got all of these facts out of my grandpa.
Yeah.
My grandpa
could sit down and he'd tell me. Well, that used to be the entertainment. Now it's television. You know?
Or something else.
People used to sit around and
talk. He learned me everything in hunting and fishing that I know. And then this was the cutter of the heavy-tailed one. My grandpa was fighting. There on the hell out of him, he had good horses too. Went back at the Fuihi Hart and he jumped in the horse and all in the river and went. They were right on the tail. But they tried to steal horses, that's why we had these log houses where we lived there. And they had to put the horses inside. And that fella up there, heavy, what was his name, Mama? They hung him up and they got him open to see what kind of meat he's got inside.
Yeah.
And that was right where they all lived.
Oh, yeah. They all
lived? Yep, that's